2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and find that place. There is no handout tonight. And we'll get into some things here tonight just specifically for this time together. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Find that in your New Testament. And I want to begin reading there, beginning with verse number 3. Beginning with verse number 3. All right, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse number 3. Let no man deceive you by any means for that day. If you have a Bible, you need to be, I hope you brought your Bible tonight. All right. Let no man deceive you by any means for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Of course, all that's about the Antichrist, okay? Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. That's the saved people who will be taken up at the rapture. And then, and only then, shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Again, talking about the Antichrist. Everybody tries to predict who the Antichrist is. Do you see what God said? And then shall that wicked be revealed. They won't know it. The people won't know it, but he'll be on the scene at the rapture. Okay? Look at verse number 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. I want you to see a word here in verse number 11. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. That's what I'll just talk about delusion for a little bit tonight, for this hour. Let's pray. Father, help us tonight. Bless the meeting upstairs with Brother Mick and the parents. Help us now in this meeting. Speak to our hearts as only you can. Give me clarity of thought in Jesus' name. And amen. I've chosen this lesson on purpose for tonight, knowing that many of the adults would be in Hearts United. And that means that many teenage young people and young adults would be in the auditorium, and I chose this topic specifically for this service. And I want to say that what I'm going to talk about tonight has serious implications for those in our church who are young. Now, I want to say before I begin that what you hear tonight is not intended to scare you or to make you anxious about the future. What you hear tonight is designed to cause you to think seriously about your relationship with God. In light of some things we know about the future. And some of you need this. Some of you don't care enough to even bring your Bible to church. And that's what I'm talking about. So the truth is, you know, if Jesus stays in heaven for quite a few more years, those of us who are 60 years of age and older have far less time left in this world than those of you who are 25 years of age and younger. That's just the way it is. We understand that and know it. Even for those of you who are like 35 years of age and younger, you have many more years left to live in this country if Jesus stays in heaven. And it's going to be you in 10 or 15 years as the adults living in whatever the good old USA will be then. That's what I want to talk to you a little bit about tonight. Now, I am not making any prophetical statements tonight. I have no crystal ball, nor am I predicting that all I'm going to say will come to pass. But I want you to know two things that are sure. Number one, whatever this book says about future times will come to pass. That will happen. Okay? Whatever this book says. Number two, the seeds of what it says will happen in the future are already being planted today. And in some cases, bearing fruit. The spirit of the tribulation age is already on this earth. Already here. Has been for some time. Because 1 John said the spirit of Antichrist was already in the world. And folks, it's only gotten stronger, not less. Okay? So I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to help you face the truth some little bit tonight. Now, I want you to notice one truth the Bible tells us about the future that is really the thing I wanted to show you out of the verses that we read tonight out of 2 Thessalonians. And that one thing is this. There will be much deception, lying, and deceitfulness as we approach the rapture. Now that's evident from this scripture, okay? Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, and he described some of the atmosphere that will be prevalent as the rapture approaches. And several times in the passage, words are used that describe an atmosphere of deception and lies. If you like to mark your Bible, look at it in verse number 3. Let no man deceive you by any means. So there's deception. Look at verse number 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, this is talking about the Antichrist, with all power and signs and lying wonders. So there's lying. Look at verse number 10. And with all deceivableness, there it is again, of unrighteousness in them that perished, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. People, the spirit of Antichrist is the spirit of deception. The spirit of deception. The spirit of delusion. And because people are quick to deny the truth of God and accept the lies of the Antichrist, now listen to this, God is going to give the world what it wants and what the world deserves. And you know what that is? Delusion. You see that in verse number 11. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. Now, the word delusion is defined as a deception, a misleading of the mind. False representation, illusion. Those of us who are like the outdoors as far as men go, some ladies as well, that like to fish and hunt, delusion or deception is used in fishing and in hunting. In fishing, a lure is placed in the water. It is not real, but it is made to appear real to the fish that are in the water. There is a misleading of the mind. And that smallmouth bass or largemouth bass or crappie or brim or whatever comes in that, here it comes, and boy, they grab that before you know it, there's somebody's frying pan. Delusion. Delusion is used when we hunt. We get up in the tree stand, we carry a grunt tube with us, we carry sometimes rattling horns, and we create the sound effects of deer that are fighting in the woods or a buck that's in pursuit of a doe. And literally, folks, you can make sound effects so near to natural that you can draw those animals in from a distance. It is a misleading of the mind. That's what a delusion is. And that's what God, the Bible says, God is going to send on the earth a misleading of the mind. Now, I want you to notice, too, that it says that God will send on people a strong delusion. So the deception, this misleading of the mind, this false representation that permeates the whole world at the time of the rapture is not just normal illusion. It's not normal delusion, it's strong delusion. It's powerful, it's gripping. The word strong means adapted to make a deep or effectual impression on the mind or imagination. So this misleading of the mind that God is going to allow on the earth is not going to be just of normal strength and power. It's going to be strong, a strong misleading of the mind. And somebody might think, well, man, that's horrible of God. That's horrible of God to send that kind of thing upon people. But folks, listen, God will only be giving people what they're already guilty of. He'll only be giving people what they want. People already believe lies over truth. People already accept illusion over reality. They choose deception over fact. That's already happening in the world today. And when it gets closer to the rapture, this delusion is going to be stronger and stronger. It's going to reach its crescendo. It's going to reach its apex just as soon as the rapture takes place. And the Bible says God is going to give that to people. God is literally going to give to people what they want. They don't want the facts. They don't want truth. They want their ears tickled with fables. That's what Paul said. We'll get to that in a little bit. Now listen, you can count on that happening. You can believe that as much as you believe you're sitting in this auditorium on Wednesday, February 6, 2019. You can believe that will happen because whatever this book says about the future time is going to come to pass. So that's going to happen. There's going to come a time on the earth when God is going to send a strong delusion, a false representation of the mind, a strong illusion, a strong deception, and the seeds of that are already, you can already see it. If you got any, if you got eyeballs at all. Now, I can't say for sure, how that all comes to pass. I don't know how you explain the disappearance of potentially millions of people that leave this world via the rapture. You ever thought about that? How's that going to be explained? I don't think it'll be ignored, folks. You might ignore 10 people leaving. But potentially millions of people at the same time leaving the world from all over the world. It's not just Americans that are going to be raptured. It's Christians everywhere. Now, how are you going to explain that? There's got to be some explanation. There's got to be something said, and it will be explained in such a way that people will believe a lie. Maybe it's this life on Mars, alien spaceship type stuff. Yeah, folks, you know what? In the night or the day, or we can't say the night because it's going to be the day somewhere. You know, a spacecraft came, and all those people that claim to be Christians have all been toted off to Mars. I don't know what they're going to say. What are they going to say? I don't know what they're going to say. Maybe somebody else has some light on that, that you could even enlighten me. I wouldn't mind knowing, but I just know this. Whatever is said is going to be said in such a way, and with God sending strong delusion behind it, people are going to accept it. People are going to believe it. Now, if you're saved, you're a child of God, you're not going to have to worry about that. Okay? But what I'm talking about tonight is, I'm talking about the seeds of strong delusion that are already being sown in the world. Already. And the spirit of it's already here. Listen, when the rapture takes place, and all this is here, okay? When the rapture takes place, the Antichrist is going to be revealed. The man of sin, the son of perdition. He'll be accepted as the new world leader. I believe with all of my heart, according to what the Bible teaches, that the world will fall in line behind him. Including Israel at the beginning. It'll be through a policy of peace, Daniel chapter 11, I think. Okay? And there's going to be a one world government. Now, people, this is not a new teaching. I haven't said this for years and years. I talk much about this. But for you teenagers and young people and kids, this is not new stuff. They've been talking about one world government since preachers have been preaching and teaching from the Word of God. Because it's in there. It's going to take place. And the Antichrist is going to be that leader of that one world government. There will be strong delusion about this leader and about his government. And the seeds of that delusion are already being planted today. We can see those plants growing in our own country. Right now, there are more radical, extreme socialist lawmakers in Congress on a national level than there ever has been. And it cannot just, teenagers and young people, listen very carefully. If you hear it all the news, you read it all, you hear the word socialists. And you hear the term progressives. Those people are the same as those who were once known as Marxists and communists. They are the same people. They've just done away with the term Marxists and communists. And progressives is not in a good sense. It is in a bad sense, but they want you to believe that it's in a good sense. Okay? It's all, they all stem from the same globalist one world government mindset. They want people to disbelieve in God. They want people to disbelieve the Bible. They want people to reject Bible, biblical values and morals. They promote a society where government replaces God and government becomes God. Hello? Now, I'm going somewhere with all this because I haven't hit the real impact of what I want to say, especially to our young, not only teenagers, but the young adults in the room tonight and kids as well. Now, over the years, people have written books. Books have been written about Marxism. People have written books about socialism. People have written books about communism. And there are some common goals that are listed over and over again in papers that are produced by those who are Marxists, communists, socialists, and this new group of people that's with this new name, progressives. They're just the old Marxists. They believe all the same things. I'm going to show you some of them tonight. Brother Scott, if you could put that first slide up on the screen tonight and go ahead and hit the button one time, pull it across there, okay? I want to show you, you have to hit it again, I think, radical goals to create havoc in a stable society. This is not new. This has been around ever since Marxism came into existence, okay? Let's go ahead with the next one. First of all, continually create racial conflicts. Now, if you got any sense at all about what's going on in our country today, it is race, 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 race. Everything is a racial conflict. And I'm going to tell you something. One of the guys who was the strongest promoter of racial conflict was Barack Obama. And it all started when he called that police officer in Massachusetts dumb, stupid, for arresting that professor. He thought he was trying to prevent a guy from breaking into the professor's home. He was trying to do his job. Create racial conflict. I love what Brian Sharp illustrated some years ago here on the platform, I think at a missions conference, that over the years, man has tried to take the black, white, red, brown, yellow peoples of the world and get them all united together on a horizontal plane. By horizontal means, you get along with him, and him, you get along with him, and you get along with him, and hey, you get all get along with each other, and it has not worked. There's only one way you can take the black, red, brown, yellow, white man and have him have a common heart, and that's through a vertical relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is going on in our country today, in my opinion, at unprecedented levels. You mean guys who were just horsing around in college doing skits and putting blackface on, and they tried to make a racial conflict out of Mary Poppins. I think that black on their faces came from the coal, if I remember right. I'm not sure I ever watched Mary Poppins. I never was much interested in women with flying umbrellas and all that stuff. But anyway, flying through the air with umbrellas. But seriously, they're trying to make a racial conflict out of everything. Okay? And by the way, our country is more divided today than it ever has been. You say, well, what about the Civil War? I will tell you something. I'm surprised we're not in one. It's ugly. Okay, next one. There's 10 of these. Promote homosexuality as an acceptable alternative lifestyle. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. That is the breakdown of a society, of a stable society. A society that embraces homosexuality is doomed to judgment. Okay? Next. Create massive immigration to destroy national identity. Folks, I'm not against immigration. My mother-in-law was an immigrant. She came on a boat through Ellis Island with a trunk that sits in our bedroom. A wooden trunk with their belongings. But what we're seeing today is not what we saw what happened back then. This is our president termed it right a few weeks ago. This is an invasion. When you have 8,000 people trying to crash a border, 8,000? That's an invasion. Okay? So you got this going on, creating. You say, well, these are conservative. These are not conservative Republican rebuttals to this. These are common sense rebuttals. Not conservative. Next one, okay? Promote heavy drinking. Well, that's been going on for years and years and years. It's a funny thing to me how we come up with all these laws for the cigarette smokers and never say one thing about the alcohol crowd. And I'm not for cigarette smoking. I'm kind of for pipe smoking. I wish we could do that. I really would. But it would, if we get to heaven and find out that we could have smoked the pipe on earth, I'm going to be disappointed. I just remember Grandpa Fitch and his pipe and that cherry tobacco. You talk about secondhand smoke, brother. I was right in the middle of it. Can I get a witness on that? Anybody have a grandpa that did that? Yeah, amen. That beats the old... I was around that. Mom, I don't know if you remember that one time you were so sick and that black lady showed up and was going from door to door to see if she could earn some money, and you let her iron, and she put the ironing board up and she put that can on the end of that ironing board. She would iron it. And iron it. You remember that? You were too sick. You were back in the room. Yeah. So that's what she did. Spinning that can. Anyway, promote heavy drinking. That's been going on for years. Next. Make people dependent on the government for benefits. Well, why, man, we're going to give free Medicare to everybody. Everybody. You don't got, man, you get your cell phone, everything free from the government, from the hand of God. Next, control and dumb down people through media. I think the only thing that may have slowed down this digression in the last 20 years is probably the advance of conservative radio. There's a lot of things you can listen to. It's hard to listen to them because they use bad language. And I still don't get these conservative people who embrace all these conservative, morally right positions, and they're steeped in rock and roll music, which literally tears the guts out of the nation. It's unbelievable to me. But anyway, control and dumb down people through media. Next, promote a breakdown of the family. Well, that's been going on for years and years. Years and years. Next, destroy Christianity by infiltrating its institutions and emptying its churches. Say it can't be done. It can't be done in the sense of you can't stamp out Christianity, because Christianity is life of Christ. You got to stamp out Christianity, you've got to stamp out Christ. And you're not going to be doing that. But folks, tell me that they didn't do this in China. You say, well, Christianity is flourishing over there. Yes, underground. How about the Congo years ago, where Bob and Bonnie Bixby first served, along with the chaplains, and they all had to leave? How about Greg Shoof in Rwanda recently? They've closed all the churches there. So they're destroying Christianity by infiltrating its institutions, emptying its churches. Did you read? Did you see where Pope Francis went to the United Arab Emirates and held a mass on Muslim soil? Was attended by, 140,000 people? A Catholic mass on Muslim soil. That's interesting. Okay, next. Destroy patriotism and the concept of nationalism by the independent nation state. That's a big long term. What I think he's talking about there is us talking about, no, we're not American anymore. We're Italian American, French American, Black, African American, Hispanic American, Asian American. We're not just Americans. It's all broken down. There's no national, there's no patriotism. Next, you got attack the authority of the man and rebrand the woman as the true authority figure. Hello? Now I'm going to tell you something, folks. And by the way, this is not new stuff. Now, some of it may be worded differently, but you can go back to Karl Marx's book on Marxism and socialism and communism and the progressives. The progressives are for all of these things up here. All those women in white last night, I didn't see it. I just saw a snippet of it. Who sat there stone-faced when our president said something very right and strong about abortion. And sat there, women, with no feeling for children, babies. Tell me that's unnatural. It's very easy to see all of these goals are being aggressively pursued, and some of these things are picking up traction. And with this newly elected Radical Democrats class in D.C., and you join that with the same minded mainline media outlets, and these goals are more realizable than in years past. And I'm trying to tell you that in 15 to 20 years, you know, a lot of us are going to be in heaven if Jesus is still there. And this is going to be your country. So people won't believe these things. They're already believing them. And the closer we get to the rapture, I think the stronger the delusion is going to be. Now, again, you may think it's not intended to scare you, depress you, or make you apprehensive about the future. Okay, Brother Angel, preacher, so what is the objective in this lesson tonight? Well, the reason for it, for bringing all of this to your attention, is to impress upon you just how important truth is. Because every one of these things is on the other end of the spectrum from what's true. Okay? And people who are for these things, thinking these things are helpful for a society and they make a society advanced, that's a lie. And sometimes to you teenagers and young people, it may seem like we are a bit fanatical about your relationship with the Bible. I'm going to call you out on it on Wednesday night. You don't even bring your Bible to church. And this book is truth. And truth is what the master deceiver, Satan himself, doesn't want you to ever understand and know and embrace. And I'm just simply saying that you've got to get nailed down in the truth. You've got to get nailed down in the truth. You've got to get nailed down in the truth. You say, man, you know, all y'all, man, you want us to get preaching at school and preaching it here and preaching at church and don't miss this and don't miss this and read your Bible. You cannot hear too much truth. Now, your problem is you think that you can go without your Bible. You don't have to pay attention to any preaching or any teaching. And you'll be strong enough to refute this kind of spirit that's going to be predominant in the end times. And I'm going to tell you something. You're going to get sucked in. There's only one thing that's going to keep you from believing this garbage. And that's you knowing the truth of God. You can't, Brother Mick can't even get young people excited about anything. Not all of them, but a handful of them. About anything spiritual. It's amazing to me. I guess it's always been that way. But I would think that, you know, you go to a church where, you know, we encourage, I know your parents too, I hope at home, read your Bible, pay attention to preaching, learn from Sunday school, go to the camps and the conferences and go to the rallies, because you can't hear. Truth is what you're going to need to know. When the deception and the illusion and the fruit of this stuff begins really to come to fruition. I think probably all we're seeing right now is just the first fruits of it. You're going to need to know truth. And truth is found in this book. Go to the next slide, Brother Stone, if you would, please. Oh, let me take a minute here and just show you these verses. show you the emphasis on remember these truths. Go ahead. About truth. Go ahead. It is truth that makes you free. Next, get the verse there. Here it is, John 8:32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But the truth won't make you free if you don't know it. There are Bible principles to refute all 10 of those things that I just showed you that the progressives are for. But I dare say there's some of you, we mentioned Bible stories from the pulpit, you have no idea what we're talking about. You're not serious about truth at all. At all. And you won't be free if you don't know the truth. It's the truth that makes you free. Next. Okay? Paul said the last days would be characterized by people who turn from the truth. Verse to follow it here is in 2 Timothy 4:3-4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Oh, Brother Mick, if we're having an activity that's fun and games and play, I'll be there. But if the activity centers around teaching or preaching, that's too much for me. They will not endure sound doctrine. That word means teaching. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. The breakdown of the family is a characteristic of an advanced society. The acceptance of homosexuality as an alternative lifestyle is a characteristic of an advanced society. You kidding me? It's not. It's the characteristic of a base society. Do you even know enough Bible to explain the position against homosexuality? Do you care to know? Do you want to know? No, I just want to play. That's what I'm talking about. You got to know the truth. The truth is what people are going to turn away their ears from. Next. The devil is the father of lies, and there is no truth in him. John 8:44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, not if he speaketh a lie, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And that one that's coming to preeminence when the rapture takes place is the one who is, according to the Bible, after the working of Satan. His power is after the working of Satan. There's no truth in the devil. Next line. It's the goal of satanic influences to hinder you from obeying the truth. Look at what Paul asked the Galatians. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? It is the goal of satanic influences to hinder you from obeying the truth. I am not your enemy tonight because I'm coming down a little bit hard about your attitude toward the truth. I am your friend. I'm trying to shake a little sense into you. Next. There is no greater joy for those of us who love you and attempt to invest in you than for you to continue in truth. 3 John 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Truth, 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 truth. Now, 2 Thessalonians 2 says that at the end of this age, right when the rapture takes place, there's going to be this massive invasion of deceptions and deceivableness and lies and delusion. And it's going to get worse as soon as the rapture happens. That's why, people, we need a baptism of truth. You can't get too much truth. The reason I shared with you tonight is not to scare you. This with you. The reason I did this is to implore you to be serious about the truth. Truth is in the devil's crosshairs. And the seeds of delusion are already being planted. And in some cases, they've begun to bring forth fruit. And the real danger is when God gives people what they want. And God's going to give them what they want. They want delusion. And God's going to give it to them. And I'll tell you what you should want. You should hunger for. You should hunger for the truth. And you living in this day and age, and planning to live the next 25 or 30 years if Jesus stays in heaven, you're going to need to know the truth. And I mean know it. And I mean embrace it. And I mean believe it. And get it down. And walk in it. And continue in it. And be free. And know that the devil is a liar. And don't let anybody hinder you from obeying the truth. Because that's what's going to keep you on the right track when all this comes to a head down the road. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I thank you for the privilege of just opening the book tonight and talking a little bit about the future to these young people. Lord, my intention is not to scare them, to cause them to be necessarily afraid or apprehensive about the future. You are the God of all grace. And when that time comes, you will give grace to those who are your children. And I'm thankful we don't have to worry about the tribulation period. But Lord, I am very concerned for a lackadaisical attitude toward truth when truth is what keeps us free. Free. I pray that you reach down tonight and stir the heart of some young person for truth. To get truth, to embrace truth, to learn truth, to know truth, to be excited about truth, enthusiastic about truth, hungry for it. Lord, may the preaching and teaching of the ministry here and what they get at home and other places, may it satisfy that desire and that hunger for the truth that will help them when this invasion of deception and lies and deceivableness and delusion is launched on the earth. God, help them, I pray. Help us all. Help me. Help the adults in this room. It may be happening, probably, it could be beginning even right now. The seeds of it, we see it. Help us to be standing for the truth, with the truth, for the truth, in the truth, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, will give us just a brief invitation for us to pray. Precious gift from God, this book of truth that we've been given. How sad to ignore it. How sad to neglect it. Embrace it. Love it. Learn it. Know it. It's truth. Father, bless the young adults, the young people of this ministry, Lord. And I don't want to leave us out, not that we're exempt from temptation, exempt from being sucked in by lies. If we're not careful, we are definitely capable of that without truth. Lord, I pray for a hunger. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. And I pray that you will develop, help young people especially to develop a real hunger, a sincere heart to know the truth of your book, and to embrace it and stand in it and with it. Please, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.